my cozy witchy friends, and welcome to episode number 51 of the Comfy Cozy Witch podcast with me, Jenny Blonde, the Comfy Cozy Witch. Again, thank you for being here with me today. In the background, you might hear some scuffling, some shuffling, some squeaky toys because all three of my girls are currently in my office with me today. So you might get to say hello to all of them. So I have Reese as usual. I have River, who was playing with the toy, and Gia right under me. And it really doesn't get any cozier this morning than that. But today on this episode, I want to talk about getting to know your Oracle and tarot card decks and really your tools for your practice in general. So that's going to be the main segment. But before I get into that, I want to talk about what is currently making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. And again, I just want to thank my dear friend Ashley, who runs the Love and Light School, for sponsoring this episode. I'm really excited because right now she's having a big deal for Black Friday. It's an early deal for Black Friday. It's 25% off all courses and all course bundles on their website at loveandlightschool.com. That includes the Crystal Healing Certification Program, and it's the last enrollment of the year for that. That's the course that I've been taking that I've talked about on a few of my episodes. You'll also get a free Connect with Your Inner Wisdom class with the purchase of any course. So this big sale starts today at 8 a.m., so in about 3 hours. And it ends this Friday, November 17th. Courses include crystal magic, moon magic, crystals for intuitive tarot, and so much more that you can use in your practice. And there is a discount code. If you go to the website, which is cchenroll.com/25off, 25 off. So again, you can enroll and get this great discount at cchenroll.com/25off. Definitely check it out. So right now in my shop, I'm having a sale on all of my Samhain, Halloween, fall items because I'm getting ready for the Yuletide season. And so I guess the Yuletide season and preparing for that is what currently is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. And I hesitate. Oh, Reese is next to me. She just came up on my lap and is touching my shoulder. Like, come on, please give me pets. Reese, you're so sweet. So I know it might seem early, and it is early. To any other year, it would be early for me to start getting ready for the winter solstice, for Yule. However, being a business owner now, things are a little bit different. You see when you walk in any large retail store and any small shop, really, that they're already decorating or are already decorated for the holiday season. And so I decided to get started on that. And so with the decorating for Yule, I have beautiful greens of the evergreen. I have some mistletoe and holly. I have a garland that has orange and cranberries. I'm really getting into that holiday spirit way early. And you might be thinking, I'm going to fast forward through this because I am not ready. I am not ready for Yule yet. But I just want to share honestly what is making me feel comfy and cozy and witchy. And it has been preparing my shop. And I have to tell you, because I feel that I would be remiss in not saying, I started doing the decorating out of not even spite, but I was so upset because, as some of you know, if you saw my Instagram this week, I had my first experience with people who didn't like my shop and didn't like the things that I sold, particularly some of my witchcraft tools, spiritual practice tools. And I had three people, to make a long story short, who came in. They harassed me. They harassed someone who helps me in the shop and made some comments on camera that were threatening. So I did have to file my first police report. I thought my wards were strong, but apparently I have to reward my shop. I did a huge floor wash and cleansing. But one of the questions that these individuals asked when they came in my shop was, they asked how I plan on decorating for the Christmas season. They're curious to see how I plan on decorating. And so you better believe I started decorating the very next day with all of my Yuletide decor. I have my Blessed Yule runner on the table with my pentagram with beautiful greenery and circling it. I have my star, my decorated star on the front door. So if they walk by again, they can clearly see how I have chosen to decorate for the holiday season. And so anyway, that's just a little tidbit. Oh, I don't know if that's comfy cozy. My friend Rowan would be cheering me on as I record this. And I'm sure as he listens to this, he will be cheering me on because that's a little bit sassier than I usually am. But I got sassy. Like, okay, fine. You want to see how I'm going to decorate? I'm going to show you how I decorate for the Yuletide season. And you are not going to approve of it. So too bad, because I'm here to stay. So anyway, I started the decorating process, and that encounter pushed me to work a little bit faster. But I realized I was behind compared to other businesses in my community. I was behind in decorating for the holiday season because most of the shops were already done and had their window displays, trees in the windows, lights in the windows. There's a flower shop right down the street from me who they have two huge, beautiful display windows, and the left side of their window, they have the red and the reds and the greens, and then the right side, they have it's golds and silvers and sparkles. So they have like that woodland winter scene on the right hand side, and then on the left hand side, they have like your traditional Yuletide, the really rich, deep reds and greens of the holiday. And I thought, oh, that is so beautiful. I need to get started. I need to step up my game. So we hung more stars in the window, some snowflakes in the window. Again, I have the Yuletide decor. I put some little gnomes around my shop. I'm going to create a little game with finding the little gnomies in my shop as the kids come in this winter. But yeah, I've started that process and it just made me feel so warm and so cozy. I had hot apple cider yesterday while I was finishing up doing that. I've been unpacking the inventory for Yule, and oh my gosh, some of the things that are going in the shop, I'm so excited about, and I still pinch myself every day that this is my reality. And I do have to apologize for those of you who get tired of hearing about my shop on the podcast. That is so much of my life right now, and I'm truly loving every moment I get to spend in my cozy witchy space. And I love sharing it with you all because there are so many of you who are asking how it's going. So I like giving you these little updates once in a while through the Comfy Cozy Witchy segment. But I'm just so thrilled. And what did I get in yesterday? Ornaments. So Yuletide ornaments. I have some ornaments that say Merry Witchmas. They're really cute. I got in some winter solstice themed incense. With pine and cedar, the frankincense and myrrh, some cranberry scented incense, and oh gosh, what else is coming out? I have more little gnomes. I have really great altar, not even decor, but items, useful items and tools for the altar, altar tiles. I have winter solstice altar tiles, and I just started putting together deciding what's going to go in the Yule box. I'm going to offer, I think, 100 of them. And in those boxes, oh, I'm so excited. There's a cute little sign with winter solstice rituals that you could hang in your sacred space. I, again, am working with that same local candle maker to design a candle and a scent for the Yule box. There's going to be, oh gosh, what did I choose? Some moss agate and tree agate pieces in the boxes and surprises. So I'm just so excited, getting ready, getting in the holiday spirit. Yes, a little bit early is what currently is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. And I just want to say, last episode in this segment, I shared with you the news of my new book deal. And I thank all of you for your support, for all of the messages, for the emails of congrats and excitement. Truly, your support helps motivate me and keeps me doing what I do and doing what I love doing. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for all of your kind words. I'm so excited for this book. Oh gosh, and Reese keeps hitting my shoulder. What do you want? What do you want? She just wants love all morning. She's so sweet. And I'm sorry, you might hear River chewing on her toy in the background. But anyway, the shop, the decor, getting in new inventory is what currently is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. All right, so today I want to talk about getting to know your card decks. And this is something that a number of listeners have asked me to talk about for a while, because I have mentioned in other episodes, just in passing, how when I first get a deck, I like to do a getting to know you ritual, a little introduction to me, to the deck, for myself. And people have asked me what that entails. In addition, this week, just I think 2 days ago, I received a message that someone would love me to chat about this on an episode of the podcast. So I didn't have anything planned out for the next episode. And as you know, I like things to come to me pretty organically, unlike a lot of podcasts. And I probably should actually do what other podcast hosts do. But unlike other podcasts, I don't plan out my content weeks, even months in advance. Typically, I speak about topics that either people reach out about or topics that I've been working with, or just whatever pops into my head at any given time. So as you know, I don't plan out, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about this. And then the December episode, I'll be talking about this. That's just not how I work. That's not how my brain works. I have tried to be more organized, to be more of a planner when it's come to my podcast. But then I find myself changing the content anyway, because it's not true to what is happening in the moment, if that makes sense. So many people have been asking for this topic, and I just got another message the other day which prompted me to discuss getting to know your tarot decks and your oracle card decks. Now, I have many decks at home. It's embarrassing the number of decks that I have collected over many years, but I go through the same ritual for every single one. And I know that there are many ways that others like to introduce themselves to their decks, but I'm just going to talk about what has worked for me and what continues to work for me. So I truly believe that forming a bond with your deck, your tarot, oracle, a new deck, is one of the most important aspects to reading your cards, because you are introducing yourself to your deck just as it is introducing itself to you. You want to introduce yourself like you would to a new acquaintance or a new friend, because that introduction can inform your journey with the deck, just like a bad introduction to a person, and you might get off on the wrong foot, and that informs the rest of your relationship with that person. So it's important that you have a solid foundation when you're working with a deck. I know, believe me, I know that sometimes we get so excited about a new tarot deck or a new oracle deck that we just rip open the package, we start pulling out cards, looking at the deck, working with the deck, doing spreads, doing readings immediately without really getting to know the cards and the content of the deck first. And that is exciting. I love doing that as well. I have done that as well. But when we rush into reading without really getting to know the deck, I feel, and this is, again, this is personal to me, I feel it can lessen your connection with it, and it affects the accuracy of the readings. And I'm going to tell you a quick story, an example of where that happened with me. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with Phyllis Curat. I adore her. I adore all of her works, her books, her decks. And her one deck, is it the Witch's Tarot? The Witch's Tarot? Oh gosh, of course I can't remember it when I come to record the episode. But she has a Witch's Tarot deck. I was so excited about getting when it was first released. I don't know how long, 5 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe it was longer. I can't remember. Because I just love all of her work. So I got it right away. I opened it. I started working with it without getting to know the deck and without even looking at all the cards first or going through the book, the guidebook. And I could never connect to that deck. I tried so many ways, so many times, and I could not connect to the deck. And I'm not saying it's because I rushed into it, again, tore open the packaging and started working with it right away without slowly getting to know the deck. But for some reason, I did not like that deck. It did not resonate with me. The pulls were not very accurate. I wouldn't get a good feeling when I worked with this deck. And I think back sometimes, oh, maybe if I would have taken my time and gotten to know the deck, it would have been a different outcome. But I ended up gifting that deck or selling. I can't remember, but it's not mine anymore. I gave it away. And I love all of Phyllis's work. But that deck just did not resonate with me. And I know so many people who love it. But again, I think back to, oh, I was so excited for this deck. Did I rush into it? And when I have purchased decks after that, I made sure that I did my typical getting to know you introductory ritual with my decks, especially the ones I was so excited about. I know I couldn't wait for Woodland Wardens to come out. And so I made sure to open them for the first time in an outdoor sacred space. I did a full ritual with them because I just wanted to connect with them so badly. And I have. It's one of my go-to decks. But anyway, although it's exciting, you want to be careful with rushing into a reading. Oh, and I do want to say too, another reason that prompted me to record an episode on this topic, I have found in my shop, so in my brick and mortar shop, I have more first-time tarot oracle readers than not. I have a lot of experienced readers come in here and purchase a deck for me, but as many as just waltz in and add to their collection, the same amount of people, and sometimes some days even more, have never worked with a deck before and are asking me, what is this? How do I do this? How do I draw a card? How do I work with this deck? And so I have been lately, I feel like, speaking about this topic over and over again. And so that's why I wanted to also record the podcast. That just popped in my mind, so I thought I would share that with you. All right. Again, there are many methods to get to know your decks, but I want to share with you what has worked best for me over the years. So when I first purchase a new deck or a new deck is even gifted to me, I tend to purchase my own. And let's just debunk that myth right now. You can absolutely purchase your first tarot or oracle card deck. If you're listening to this and you were drawn to this episode because you've been thinking about getting a deck for the first time, but you're afraid to because you've heard the myth that somebody else needs to buy you a deck, don't listen to that. It's just a myth. You can 100% purchase your first oracle or tarot card deck. Absolutely. And by the way, if you want to know the difference between tarot and oracle, in season one, I did a whole episode on those. You can go back and listen to that. But when I first interact with a new deck, I like to do this when I know I'll have plenty of time to myself in an area that is free from distractions, even from Reese and River and Gia, even from the dogs, in an area that I am free of all distractions. I find one of the best places for me is to be outside in nature. I like to go out in my backyard. You know, I have my sacred space, my sacred circle out there. I really enjoy getting to know my decks outside, but weather doesn't always permit that. So if you have an indoor sacred space or a quiet corner, even tucked away in your home or your apartment, that is fine as well. So do this in a place of your choosing, a place that makes you comfortable, of course. And once you have that time put aside and you found that place, you want to set the scene like you would at the beginning of any ritual working. So maybe that's taking a few deep breaths for you. Perhaps that includes lighting your favorite incense or a candle or cleansing the space. Maybe that's you meditating for a few moments or doing a guided meditation or doing some visualization exercises where you're in a protective energetic bubble. Maybe it's just holding your deck to your heart or to your head, to your forehead in between your brows. So whatever that looks like for you. And I personally, I like to meditate a little bit. I like to still myself. I might do some mindful movement. I definitely light some candles and incense. I will clear the space with my altar bell. And I might do this, like I said, I like to do it outside, but also I like to do this in my sacred space as well. Okay. Because I love things all comfy cozy too, I like to have some tea or maybe something hot to sip on, bring in a blanket, maybe sit on a cushion or a meditation cushion before I start this as well. And if you'd like to have music in the background, you can do that. I know was it my last episode? No, two episodes ago when I talked about the ambiance, the ambient state music, you can put that in the background on your screen. It's up to you. So I set the scene. Before even opening the deck, I do this. And before opening the deck, I also want to remove any energy that may have been attached to it because these decks have been touched by other people in the shops, or if you ordered it online, people in the warehouse packaging them, creating the deck, machines are touching the deck, creating the cards. So you want to make sure that you do a nice cleansing of your deck. You can do a smoke cleansing. You can, you know, hold the deck even in its box and, you know, push it through smoke. You can do a sound cleansing. I like to do this with my altar bell. You can knock on the deck 3 times. All of these things will work. Maybe you want to put some selenite or other clearing crystals nearby or surrounding the deck. Any of this can help get rid of that energy. Then what I like to do is study the front, the back, the sides of the box, the packaging that it comes in. So I'm not actually opening the deck at first. I'm just looking at the box, the packaging it comes in. I'm touching it. Once the energy has been cleared from other people, then I'm putting my energy onto it. I'm touching it, moving it all around, flipping over the deck, reading the packaging, noticing the texture, the artwork, the words on the back, the author information, the illustrator information. And then I open the deck. And typically, you know, you take the wrapping off of it, you remove the cards are usually bound by, you know, a looped piece of paper, take that off, and you can do another quick cleansing now that they're out of the box and that the book is out of the box. So when I take my cards out, again, I like to feel them in my hands, notice their weight, their texture, how they fit in my hands. So I know if I'm going to shuffle longwise or widthwise, which I end up shuffling lengthwise because my hands are pretty small. So get a feel for those. Notice all of those things. At that this time, I place the guidebook to the side and I simply study the cards. I start with the backs of the cards. I look at the back of every card. They're going to be the same generally, but I like to explore that. I look at the colors, the shapes, again, the texture, the imagery on the backs of the cards. Then I flip the deck over and I explore each and every card one at a time. And I always say, and I personally spend at least a minute looking at every card. So think about it. If you have, oh my gosh, if you have a tarot deck, you're going to be spending at least an hour and a half doing this whole process. If you have a shorter, maybe a 45 card oracle deck, it should take at least 45 minutes to go through this part. But I look at the front of every single card, again, noticing the colors, the shapes, the imagery, and thinking, and even what pops into my head as I'm looking at those things. Then I flip the deck over. I already said that. I flip the deck over. I look through all the cards. And, I like to notice the colors that the artist chose to use, because oftentimes the colors evoke some sort of feeling inside of you. So the colors, the imagery does the same thing. Make sure you pick up on the borders or any framing that's... Sorry, that I cut off for a second there because a call came through. but I think we were talking about picking up on the borders, the framing that is around the main image. And you want to make sure that you're tuning into the card's effect on you when you're first looking at it, that very initial time, that very first time. And move through each card until you've met every single one. Again, this is going to take some time. This is going to take a long time. And the next thing is going to take maybe even longer. But it is something that I do, and I really believe that this will help you connect to the decks that you purchase or that are given to you. So once you've done that, you've gone through every card, you're going to put the cards down, and now you're going to pick up the guidebook. Every deck has, I don't want to say every, but 95 to 98% of decks have a guidebook that go along with them. If you pick up a deck that does not have a guidebook and has a QR code on it where you have to download the guidebook, there is also a 99% chance that is a counterfeit deck. It's not a real deck, and it's a knockoff. So your legitimate decks are going to have a paper or even a hardback guidebook that goes along with them. Anytime you have to like scan a QR code and download a deck as a PDF, most times it's not legit. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. So you have the guidebook now. What I do and I recommend doing is read the guidebook from cover to cover. Every word of the intro, of the conclusion, about the author, book dedication, every single word. Familiarize yourself with the layout of each of those pages. Like I said, read every single word. And depending on the deck, you might be reading the meaning of the card, the reversed meaning, the message. There might be keywords. There could be affirmations. There could be all sorts of things and text that goes along with each card, but read everything. I know when I did this with years ago, when I got my first Witchlings deck, I think that was, 13 or 14, 2013, maybe 2014. I can't remember. I know it was almost 10 years ago. It took me a while to get through that guidebook because every card has multiple rituals and spells that go with it. But I read every single page. That's what you want to do. So you'll read all of that. And once you have touched, studied every card, every page of the book, then it's time to make the introduction. And this is an important part for me. So I might quiet myself again. I hold the deck of cards in my left hand And then I'll place my right hand on top. So I might have the guidebook underneath with the deck of cards. Some I don't always have the guidebook with this. Sometimes it's just the deck of cards because that's what I'm pulling from every day. But excuse me, I'll hold the cards in my hand, my left hand. I'll put my right hand on top of it. I typically close my eyes, take a few deep breaths. I introduce myself. I mean, I say hello, whatever deck, Woodland Warden's deck, if that's the one I'm working with. My name is Jenny, and I'm hopeful that we can work together to do X, Y, and Z. So you're introducing yourself, you're telling the deck what it is you wish to gain from working together with it. And it's just a simple introduction, like you're introducing yourself to a new person. And then give it some context by explaining how you want to work with the deck or why you chose to pick it up. You might use this time to even say that you really resonate with the images or you particularly enjoy the wording in the guidebook. So you're going to introduce yourself. And then I like to take some time to draw some cards. And these first cards that I draw are a getting to know you deck interview kind of spread. So you'll want to shuffle the deck any way that you choose. You can do a traditional card shuffle. You can spread all the cards in front of you. You can mix them all up and then regroup them in your hands. You can cut the deck a number of times. It's up to you. I know most readers have their own way of shuffling. I know I do. I'm not going to share exactly my method of shuffling, but there are a couple steps to it. And if you've ever done a reading with me, or if you've ever just, you know, thrown cards with me, then you know how I tend to do it. And I think it's a little bit of my, there's some OCD tendencies. I like to end on certain numbers and do certain things. So I do the same thing for all of my shuffles. So however it is, you shuffle the way that you choose. And then you'll want to either spread the cards in front of you if you want to and choose four cards, or you can choose the top four cards. However it is that you pull cards. But for each card that you pull, you want to answer or ask the following questions. The first question, what work are we supposed to do together? What work are we meant to do together? And you'll pull a card for that. Next question, how will you deliver your messages to me? And you'll pull that card. The next one, what do you need the deck? What do you, the deck, need from me? And you'll pull a card for that. And then the last question, which card is my guiding card for this deck or from this deck? And then you'll pull that card. So those are the questions that I work with. Those are the questions I have other people work with. And once you have chosen your card for each question, you can do one of a few things. You can either intuitively reflect on those cards, on those four cards. You can also use the guidebook for assistance. When I do my first getting to know you spread, I like to do a little bit of both. So I'll intuitively reflect on the card, what pops in my head, what messages, what images are sticking out to me that answer, that somehow contribute to an answer to that question. And I also use the guidebook for assistance because the creator of those words, the creator of the guidebook, they put a lot into their words. There's meaning behind those cards that come from them. I like to know what their interpretation is, although I do love intuitively reading. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy intuitively reading, especially once I really gotten to know a deck. There is a lot of merit in using the guidebook. And I know there are some people out there, because I've heard it, who kind of poo-poo on people who always have to use the guidebook and say, oh, you should be reading intuitively. You don't need the guidebook. No, the guidebook is there for a reason. In your tarot decks, in your oracle decks, it is there for a reason, because the creator put their energy and their spin into those cards. So it's nice to see their meaning behind the creation and that creative process, in addition to your intuitive hits. Oh, I'm sitting here and I just got a whiff of frankincense. Oh, I had some frankincense incense in here yesterday. I just got a really big like whiff of frankincense. Oh, which is such a meditative scent. Oh, I think it's also telling me, slow down, Jenny. You're getting excited. You're talking fast. Slow down a little bit. Okay. So once you have chosen those cards and you've reflected on them intuitively and for me, using the guidebook, I really recommend recording everything down in some sort of magical journal, in a tarot or oracle, or maybe you have a divination journal. But I always record my first interactions with decks because I like to go back and reflect on that first introductory card pull, the getting to know you card pull. So I really recommend, as I said, recording the questions, the card you pulled for each, any intuitive hits you got, any reflections, any important information you may have pulled from the guidebook, all of this. And you write it all down, you reflect on it, and then you simply thank your new deck and express your feelings on working with it. And if for some reason you're still struggling to connect with the deck after getting to know it and working with it, if you're still struggling to connect, you can carry it around with you for a few days, carry it on you, put it in your purse, in your bag, keep it in your car, traveling wherever you are. You can also place the deck on a table near your head while you sleep, or I know some people will put it under their pillow and see if there's a connection made that way. And then if you continue to struggle to make a connection, sleep with the deck next to you for a full moon cycle. So for an entire moon cycle for 28 days, sleep with it next to you. And then if for whatever reason you still don't connect to a deck, you can acknowledge, okay, I am maybe not the intended owner for this deck. I am in turn the person to deliver it to whomever it needs to go to next, whoever it's meant for, and then pass it along to someone who you feel needs it. Like I did with Phyllis Karat's deck, ended up passing it along. I did this. I slept with it next to me for a full moon cycle, an entire moon cycle, and I still could not connect to the deck. And that's okay. So yesterday I had a customer come in yesterday who has worked with the same pendulum for a number of years. She's probably going to listen to this episode and be like, that's me. But she's worked with a pendulum for a number of years and it isn't working for her anymore. She isn't getting anything out of it. She isn't leveling up with her pendulum. She just doesn't feel connected to it anymore. And so I recommended to her doing a getting to know you ritual with the pendulum. Even though she's had it for years, I told her to revisit an introduction. And you can do the same thing with decks that you've used that maybe you aren't resonating with or you're not connecting with. Go back, do everything that I talked about for the last 25 minutes to try to reintroduce yourself to your deck, reignite that relationship. Because maybe you haven't visited that guidebook in a long time. Maybe you haven't studied those cards like you used to, and you just need some time to reconnect with it. So that's what I told her to do with her pendulum. And it's the same with any divination tool, especially with your oracle and tarot cards. So one of my favorite decks, my go-to deck that I worked with morning, every single morning for all of my morning ritual work for years, there was a period of time, a year and a half ago, there were about 2 months where I just was not connecting to it. So I ended up doing this. I introduced myself again, went through every single card, went through the guidebook again, and just reawakened myself to the deck. So those are some tips on getting to know and introducing yourself to a new deck or a deck, an older deck that you want to reconnect with. Again, there are so many ways that you can do this. This is my personal way, the one that I tell people about, the one that has worked for me in the past. And so I hope that you gained something helpful out of this information. Okay, so let's go into the card pool of the week. Actually, this deck is one of my newer decks. And just as I said in this episode, I went through the getting to know you with this deck a few weeks back. So let's see what message we have for the card of the episode. Oh, by the way, this is the Earthly Souls and Spirits Moon Oracle by Terry Foss. Terry is a talented witchy artist. A lot of her prints I actually have in my sacred space. I know people have commented on them before, but she has her own Oracle deck now that was published by US Game Systems, and it is all of her artwork and just beautiful. So the card today is Focus. Focus, and you have this, it looks like a young girl. She's holding two white roses. There is a raven looking over her. There's a full moon in the sky. The raven's perched up on a branch of a tree, and it's looking over this girl, and it says, Focus. Oh, the imagery, the cards are gorgeous in this deck. So let's see. Oh, I turned right to the page. Look at that. Huh. Let's see what this card has to say. Focus, keywords, channel, mind, and vision. Keep your eyes open, concentrate, and make sure you know exactly what it is you want. No one can hit their target with their eyes closed. Ooh, I like that. So concentrate on what is going well in your life and everything will follow suit. Be open to what the universe has in store for you. What is meant to be will happen exactly when and as it should. Positive thinking and taking healthy actions will attract wonderful events and opportunities into your life. Self-motivation is required to climb the ladder and reach your goals. You can do this. You are a self-motivator. Believe wholeheartedly that nothing can hold you back. Focus your intentions by creating a dream board using meditation or journaling. These may be helpful tools to bring your dreams into reality. A whirlwind of miraculous energy will engulf you as you continue to focus on your desired outcome. So really focusing and putting intention and focus into what it is that you wish to accomplish or wish to see come to fruition. I love that. And I love the idea of creating a dream board or using meditation or journaling to see those things come to life. So intention. What you desire and envision for your life is already on its way to you. That's a cute little message. I like that. That's a nice message. This is a nice deck. I just, like I said, it's the artwork for me. The words are lovely as well, but the artwork and the intuitive hits that I get from these cards, I really enjoy. And then, of course, pairing that with Terry's words as well. But I thank you for joining me for this episode. I think it's going to end up being on the shorter end, a little bit less than an hour this time, closer to my earlier episodes. But thank you for joining me for this episode. And I do want to give a couple of shout outs before I leave you today. So again, thank you to everybody who has written a review, commented about the podcast. I appreciate you more than you know. And I'm trying to pull up right now some of those comments. For some reason, the platform, it isn't showing like I used to. Okay, there we go. So first off, SueB52, what a gift. I found this as a gift of information, inspiration, and guidance. A true wonderful soul. Thank you, Sue. That's so nice. Thank you. KJ McElroy, you feel like you found a kindred spirit with this podcast. For a witch half in the broom closet, I find all the guidance in the episodes amazing. Thank you for being vulnerable and bringing your knowledge to us. So you're so welcome. Thank you for your kind words. Soul Reaper 8886, love your podcast. You stumbled across it here. You're enjoying the information. It's insightful. And you think I have a lovely voice. Thank you. Some days I'm not sure, but I do appreciate you saying that. And I love that you listen when you're cleaning and cooking. I find a lot of listeners
do just that. They listen, you know, when they're doing chores around the house, cleaning, cooking, grocery shopping, whatever it is. They just pop me in their ear, which I love. Jay Surrett, 768. Jenny is wonderful. Thank you. Friendly and bright. You love the topics in a way that makes you feel like she is a true friend. Thank you. And I like to think the same for all of my listeners. Like I said from the beginning, I want it to be like we are sitting down chatting about witchy things over a cup of tea at my kitchen table, or I guess I should say in my office, because that's where I record the episodes. And I do feel like that. I feel like we are. Although I'm just talking to, you know, my phone, I still feel like I'm talking to all of you and I'm laughing. I laugh at myself like I'm laughing with friends too. So thank you. Shady Khan, I think you like the insightful tips about witchcraft, but you wish you didn't have to fast forward through half the podcast personal ramblings to get to it. Just your preference. Well, thank you. I appreciate the honesty. I told you I have a tendency to ramble and it's okay. If you need to fast forward, by all means, do so. Pansexual Panic. You love this. Only in episode 11. You're only 11. Oh my gosh, wait. You love this. You're only 11, but know you're a witch and can just feel it. And you love how comfy, cozy this podcast makes you feel. Oh my gosh, this is so sweet. Thank you so much for listening at such a young age. I'm so glad that you're getting things out of this. And let's see, JPL Trosky, you love the podcast, love the mindset. Wish that I were as passionate about the podcast and sharing my stories as I am about other projects. Oh, I'm not sure what that means, but thank you. Thank you. You find me inspirational. So I do appreciate that and appreciate your words and your feedback. Like I said, I like to hear feedback. I like to hear this. I see. As passionate about the podcast as I am about sharing the stories. Oh, so you want a more consistent schedule. I know. And as I said earlier in this episode, I wish I had a persistent schedule. But again, I record episodes as I feel called to do. I don't want to record episodes on the timeline of others and force topics and force information. That's just not the way I work. I like to talk on topics that are immediate to me and that people have asked for when I have time to do them. It takes a lot of time to sit down and record podcasts to think about what I'm going to talk about. And between other obligations, so my writing, which is my career, my shop, which is my career, it's how I support my family, that I have to give more attention at times to those things because, again, that's at the end of the day how I'm able to support myself, how I'm able to support my family. The podcast, although I do have a couple sponsors here and there, it is not a means for me to make an income. It's a way for me just to share knowledge and almost have a grimoire of sorts in a digital voice format. So I do the podcast as a passion, not as a lucrative money-making thing like I know a lot of podcasts are. I know a lot of podcasts get big paid advertisers, big paid sponsorships, but I've not done that because I want to keep it a podcast that is authentic, that I do on my own time and on my own accord, not one that other people are telling me when I need to record and telling me, you know, who I need to advertise for. And I do think that's a reason why a lot of people continue to like the podcast is because it is authentic in nature and I'm not forcing out an episode every week or forcing out an episode every 2 weeks. So I do, you know, I appreciate your comments, but I just do want you to know that I am passionate about the podcast, as just as passionate as I am about other projects. And I think because I am so passionate about it, I only record when I feel called to do it because I don't want it to be forced or contrived. I hope that makes sense. I know it, that makes sense to other people because they have commented about that. But I hope that that explains it a little bit more. And again, I do thank you for those words. I wish I could get more episodes out, but I just can't. I don't always have the mind, the space, I guess, in my head to do that or in my schedule to do that. But I try. I really try. But anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for listening to me ramble these last couple of minutes. I appreciate you all listening. I appreciate you all being here and all of the feedback that you give me on all that I do and all of your support. So until next time, everyone, stay comfy, cozy, and witchy.